dining in dear old Santa Fe. They asked me that same old question, and I said what I always say. Red or green's all right. Red or green's all right.
Welcome back to Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. Our show today brought to you by the Sapelo Island Birdhouses. Now, we're talking about New Mexico today, and New Mexico, green chilies, red chilies, New Mexico and chilies go together. I mean, it's just you don't get one without the other. Now, I want to jump right in because I had a chance to go to the Chili Institute. Yes, there is one. It does exist. And Aiden Delval, the program specialist at the Institute, shares a lot of information with us during a press trip that I had there and how the Institute was started, how they work with farmers, the research that they do, the development of new peppers. I mean, you would not believe all this great information. So here he is.
This year we are celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Chili Pepper Institute. And to go back a little in time, the Chili Pepper Institute was started in 1992, 1993 out of a very small closet. And it started with people requesting seed varieties that were developed here at the university. And so those seed varieties weren't available to buy commercially. And so a person sent in a letter requesting some Big Jim seeds, New Mex Big Jim seeds. We sent him a packet. We don't know where he lives, but within the next couple of weeks, we probably got 50 letters of people requesting seeds. He probably told neighbors, told friends, told family, and we got a whole bunch of requests. So from there, we decided to start selling our varieties to be able to pay for postage, be able to pay for a lot of those things. And from there, came the idea of the Chili Pepper Institute based on the Tobacco Institute. So the purpose of the Chili Pepper Institute was to educate the world about chili peppers. From there, we started the idea of selling the seeds to pay for postage and to educate the world about chili peppers. Back then, internet was very lightly used, so we used to get a lot of letters, handwritten letters, asking questions about chili peppers, and so we had to respond. And since we're a nonprofit institute, it was becoming more of an expense. So by selling seeds, we were able to keep that interaction. With time, it grew from seeds to selling books, to selling things that would educate people on chili peppers. A few years back, we started a plant sale every spring. And so the plant sale helps us fundraise money for the Chili Pepper Institute. And we plant chilies, tomatoes, herbs, eggplants. And with time, that plant sale has expanded into other items. So initially it was just chili peppers varieties developed at the university. We started adding tomatoes. We started adding herbs. This year people started requesting zucchini, squash, a whole bunch of other stuff. And so what we're mostly known for besides breeding is finding the hottest chili pepper in the world. Mm. And so back in 2006, we discovered the Boot Jalokia to be the hottest chili in the world. And so right as you can see over here, we have the Guinness World Book of Records for discovering the hottest chili, which was a Boot Jalokia, or you might have heard of it as a ghost pepper. And so that one was the first chili to go above 1 million Scoville heat units, which back then the habanero was the hottest one in the world. One of the habaneros, or very many of them. And so after that, we discovered another chili that measured 2 million Scoville heat units, which was twice the amount of the ghost pepper. And so not only do we discover extremely hot peppers, we develop varieties that help local farmers produce better chili, have higher yields, advising farmers on what to do to help their crops survive. We also develop chili varieties that are more resistant to diseases and viruses. So one of the most common viruses in New Mexico is curly top virus, which is transmitted to chili plants by a leaf hopper. What they do is they bite into the leaf of a chili to feed off of it, but when they bite into it, they infect it with the curly top virus. So if it's a hot summer, we expect higher amounts of leafhoppers. So the crop can be dangerous. And so we try and develop varieties that are more resistant to that disease. The other one is if we're waiting for a rainy season, it's called root rot. And if it rains too much, chilies don't tend to like to stand in sitting water. And so when they do, the chili plant starts rotting from the root up. So the best method for that is razor leveling the fields to where there's a slight angle, and we can drain the fields if it rains too much. We do have a product that includes a scorpion pepper. So to put it in perspective, a bell pepper is zero Scoville heat unit. To explain Scoville heat units briefly in a nutshell is, initially it was done with sugar water. One drop of sugar water was the equivalent of one Scoville heat unit. A bell pepper requires no sugar water to dilute the heat because there's no heat. A jalapeno requires about 15,000 drops of sugar water to dilute the heat. However, it wasn't an effective science because your heat tolerance may be higher than mine or vice versa. So where you might require 10, I may require 15,000. Progress has been made since Scoville heat units were developed. And so now we use high-performance liquid chromatography to find the heat, which is an exact science. So again, jalapenos start at like 15,000, what you buy at the grocery store. They go up to maybe 29, 30,000 Scoville heat units. A habanero is somewhere between 180 and 230,000. A million Scoville heat units for the ghost pepper was the first million, and then 2 million. So we rocotos at 69,000. The Scotch bonnets are 110,000. Orange habaneros at 210,000. Back then, the red Savina habanero was at 577,000, which was the hottest one at the time. Then the Jolokia came in at 1 million, and then 2 million. If you stress a chili plant enough, it'll produce more heat. Mm-hmm. And the way I explain this to people is, if you're at Disneyland, mm-hmm. and you have very little water and you're in the sun all day, what's going to happen by the end of the day? You're going to be stressed, somebody says something, and you're going to snap at them. That's how chili plants are. The you're less you hot. Water them, the hotter the temperatures are. You withhold water enough so that they wilt, but they don't die. They stress themselves and they produce more capsaicin, which is the spiciness in chili peppers. Mm-hmm. Last year, the year before, what we discovered was super hots are very different to most chilies. So most chilies, if you cut a jalapeno open down the middle, mm-hmm. and you look at the vein is where you find the spiciness of chili. Mm-hmm. So the hotter, the yellower that vein is, the hotter the chili is going to be. So if you take the vein out, you're getting rid of a lot of the heat. Capsaicin does kind of ooze or melt into the walls of the chili. And that's why you detect a little heat sometimes even after you've taken the veins out. Super hots, however, have veins along the walls of the chili. Mm. Along the walls of the chili as well as in the veins of the chili. So that's why a small chili can produce so much heat, as much as 1 or 2 million. Crop productions in the area, which are New Mexico green chili, New Mexico red chili, jalapenos, cayenne, and paprika, New Mexican paprika. And New Mexican paprika is used pretty much around the world to give coloring to a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So if you use makeup or organic makeup, it'll more than likely have some kind of paprika coloring in there. If you drink orange juice, it has coloring in there to kind of give it that orange color. They feed it to flamingos to give them that pink color. They feed it to goldfish to give them that gold color. They use it in meats to give it that bright red color, pepperoni. So if you look on the ingredients, it'll probably have chili. And if you don't taste the chili, it'll probably be paprika that is used in there. Paprika's low heat, high color.
Yum, that makes me want some peppers. When you guys are in Las Cruces, you got to check them out. The Chili Pepper Institute. This is Travel Bags with Anita and Friends. We have to take a break here, but we'll be back in a minute on Travel Bags with Anita and Friends, brought to you by the Sapelo Island Birdhouses.
Red or green's all right.